Well, we'll turn then to Proverbs chapter 4 for the Bible reading this morning. We will be reading the whole chapter. So Proverbs 4 from verse 1. Hear, O sons, a father's instruction, and be attentive, that you may gain insight. For I give you good precepts. Do not forsake my teaching. When I was a son with my father, tender, the only one in the sight of my mother, he taught me and said to me, let your heart hold fast my words. Keep my commandments and live. Get wisdom. Get insight. Do not forget and do not turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her and she will keep you. Love her and she will guard you. The beginning of wisdom is this. Get wisdom and whatever you get insight. Prize her highly and she will exalt you. She will honor you if you embrace her. She will place on your head a graceful garland. She will bestow on you a beautiful crown. Hear, my son, and accept my words, that the years of your life may be many. I have taught you the way of wisdom. I have led you in the paths of uprightness. When you walk, your step will not be hampered, and if you run, you will not stumble. Keep hold of instruction, do not let go. Guard her, for she is your life. Do not enter the path of the wicked, and do not walk in the way of the evil. Avoid it, do not go on it. Turn away from it and pass on. For they cannot sleep unless they have done wrong. They are robbed of sleep unless they have made someone stumble. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn, which shines brighter and brighter until full day. The way of the wicked is like deep darkness. They do not know over what they stumble. My son, be attentive to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Let them not escape from your sight. Keep them within your heart. For they are life to those who find them and healing to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flows the springs of life. Put away from you crooked speech and put devious talk far from you. Let your eyes look directly forward and your gaze be straight before you. Ponder the path of your feet, then all your ways will be sure. Do not swerve to the right or to the left. Turn your foot away from evil. Amen.
If you could keep your Bibles open to Proverbs chapter 4. Augustine or Augustine, the great 4th century theologian and church father, once set out to examine why people are so miserable. He read a dialogue by the great Roman philosopher Cicero, in which Cicero wrote that every person sets out to be happy, but most are thoroughly miserable. Why do folk want to be happy, but they're miserable, rich and poor? And after much study and examination, Augustine came to this conclusion. People had their loves out of order. They had what he called disordered loves. You see, sin, Augustine found, is ultimately a lack of love for God and for your neighbour. So he said, sin and misery and people's unhappiness comes down to disordered loves. This great church father came to the point of his own salvation when he found that we were made to love God. To love God and be loved by God and to find our rest in him. And of course, Augustine found his rest in God. And so he understood that what makes people miserable is disordered love. We were made to love God, and when folk try to find their loves elsewhere other than God, they find only despair and frustration and disorder. Well, about 3,000 years ago, King Solomon compiled many of the Proverbs in the book of Proverbs, and much of it is written to instruct his sons or his children. And he teaches them much about the meaning of life and that we were made to love God. And we see here in chapter 4 this lovely chapter of instructions for his son. And it's all about setting your heart or setting his heart on God. He's saying the way to life and meaning and purpose is pursuing God, loving God, pursuing godly wisdom. And so we have here much encouragement for us to live a life of meaning and purpose by having our loves in order, by living to love and worship our Heavenly Father. Now in Proverbs, we have two ways to live set out. And we see two metaphoric women in Proverbs. If you look, flip over to Proverbs chapter 9, we see that the way of wisdom is characterized as being a wise woman. A woman who calls out to the simple to leave your simple ways and walk in the insight, the way of insight. And we have there in Proverbs chapter 9, one of the most important verses in the entire book of Proverbs. And that verse is this. Proverbs 9, verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight. That's kind of the heart of the entire book of Proverbs. The fear, the reverence of Yahweh is the beginning of wisdom. And so we see there that wisdom is kind of characterized as a wise woman calling to the young man to love wisdom. And then we see the other path in life we can pursue, the way of the woman folly. And the woman folly offers hidden, illicit pleasures. She says, come to me, enjoy forbidden fruit. Enjoy stolen water and bread eaten in secret. Verse 17, this is the way of the world, the way of disordered love. This is a call to love worldly pleasures, worldly things, and to walk in rebellion against God, to ignore godly wisdom, which God has revealed through his word. And ultimately, of course, wisdom is personified perfectly, completely, and finally in Jesus. Jesus is wisdom. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 1:23, we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and folly to Gentiles, but to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Christ is the wisdom of God. 1 Corinthians 1:30, because of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption. So ultimately, Proverbs 4 is, in the fullness of time, a call to love Jesus, to follow Jesus, to walk in godly wisdom, to have your heart set on the greatest love of all, loving your Creator who made you and who loves you, and to not have your heart chasing after idols. And any love other than God that dominates your heart becomes an idol. So point one is this. Set your heart on godly wisdom, on God's wisdom, looking at verses 1 through 13. There was a Scottish pastor called Thomas Chalmers who lived about 200 years ago. And he preached once that he said, even when we understand that chasing after worldly pleasure leads only to despair, we don't change, we don't turn back. He said, we only change when we see the beauty of Jesus, when we see the glory of Christ. He says, we get our loves in order when we see that Christ makes us alive in ways our sins never can. And we see much the same here in Proverbs chapter 4, as a father exhorts his son to set his heart on God and godly wisdom. Look at verse 3. Solomon looks back on his own childhood and the way David taught him to pursue godly wisdom. When I was a son with my father, tender, the only one in the sight of my mother, he taught me and said to me, "Let your heart hold fast my words, keep my commandments and live. Get wisdom, get insight. Do not forget, do not turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, and she will keep you. Love her, and she will guard you." Now, this is far more than pursuing intellectual knowledge, even knowledge of God's word. It's rather, he's saying, set your heart on pursuing godly wisdom, which is knowing God through reading his holy word, through a heart transformed by faith in Jesus. And notice the absolute strength of these exhortations. He says, keep her, keep wisdom. Wisdom will keep you and guard you. Verse 8, she will exalt you and honor you. She will place on your head a graceful garland. She will bestow on you a beautiful crown. He's saying when you walk in the way of godly wisdom, you are kept. God watches over you. He keeps your path. He keeps you from stumbling. We see in verses 10 through 13, the path of uprightness or the path of wisdom described. In verses 14 through 17, we see the path of the wicked. And finally, in verses 18 and 19, we see a final contrast. Because we see here very clearly, there are two voices, the voice of wisdom, the voice of folly, the path of wisdom, the path of folly. And a key metaphor here is the way. We're told to pursue the way of wisdom, verse 11, the paths of uprightness. And we're told in verse 14 to avoid the path of the wicked, the way of evil. In verse 18, to walk in the path of the righteous. And finally, in verse 19, to flee the way of the wicked. There are two ways to live. And we see today in the world, the path of the wicked is very broad and many walk on it. But we have been called to love God and to walk in the way of wisdom. We see in verse 13, wisdom is your life. You were made to walk in wisdom by knowing Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and by loving your Heavenly Father. The great lie of our age is this, that joy is found in pursuing love on your own terms, on defining yourself, defining your love, chasing after whatever you want, finding meaning wherever you find it. This is a great lie. Freedom is found in walking in godly wisdom. We're told in verse 12, when you walk in godly wisdom, you will run and not stumble. God keeps your path. This is the way you were made to live. But when the wicked set their hearts on sin, when they pursue disordered loves, they stumble. Verse 19. As a sidebar, note in chapter 4, the great love a father has for his children when he teaches them the way of God, the way of wisdom. Parents, we are called to teach and disciple our children to know Jesus, to follow him, to love and serve our Heavenly Father. When God gave Israel the law, he said this, "You shall teach them diligently," that is the laws, "to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise." Deuteronomy 6 verse 7. It's so important for us as a church to be sure to pass on godly wisdom to the young folk in this church, our youth, our children, to teach them to get wisdom, to get insight, to not forsake her, knowing that wisdom, the Lord Jesus Christ, keeps us, loves us, and guards us through all of our journey. And we see in verses 14 through 19, the way of the world. When folk reject God, when they pursue worldly loves, we see the final outcome is despair and death. And so point two is this, flee the lusts of this world. Guard your heart against the lusts of this world. I'm reading a wonderful book The Rise and Triumph of the Modern Self by Carl Truman, which examines the Western world and how we got to this point in time. And he's saying there's been many shifts that have been taking place over the last several hundred years. And what we're seeing now is just the latest manifestation of that. He said even 50 years ago, a child would go to school to be taught the way the world works, to be taught to obey, to be taught to fit in with the world. But now we've been told, you make your own meaning. Our schools are encouraged to let the child flourish, to not discipline or train them, but to let them find their own meaning, to make their own meaning. The worldview in the West today is that there is no meaning in the world other than that which we make. And so that they're saying, therefore, define your own loves, define your own gender, define who you are, define what you want to be and what you want to do, and don't let anyone say that's wrong. But the Word of God says God defines wisdom. God has set in place the way things are. And when we reject God, when we seek to define life in our own terms, we are walking in the path of the wicked, which leads to death, which leads to deep darkness, which leads to stumbling. We need a Copernican revolution in our age, because our entire age rejects absolute truth. And yet, the Word of God does not change. God doesn't change. What our culture calls bad today will change in 20 years' time, 10 years' time. God's Word never changes. And God has revealed His gracious plan for us to love Him and enjoy Him and be saved through faith in His beloved Son, Jesus. This is wisdom. When we reject God, even if we're a good, upright and moral person, if we don't love God, if we don't believe and trust in Jesus, we are entering the path of the wicked. Look there at verses 14 through 19. Do not enter the path of the wicked, and do not walk in the way of the evil. Avoid it. Do not go on it. Turn away from it and pass on. For they cannot sleep until they have done wrong. They are robbed of sleep unless they have made someone stumble. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn, which shines brighter and brighter until full day. The way of the wicked is like deep darkness. They do not know over what they stumble. Note there how seductive is the way of sin. It lures. He says there that those who walk in this path can't sleep until they have indulged in sin. It keeps them awake. And note too the Father's great command here of urgency. He says, do not enter the path of the wicked. Do not walk in the way of evil. Avoid it. Do not go on it. Turn away. Pass on. Sin is seductive. Even for those of us who have come to faith in Jesus, beware of the seduction of sin. It's a terrible trap, a terrible slavery. We are called to flee the path of the wicked, to not dabble, but to run away, to avoid it. When people love their sin and not God, it brings only misery and brokenness. Sin is a terrible and cruel master, and it makes sinners slaves. But we have been freed from slavery to sin through faith in Jesus, and we are not to walk in the way of wicked. We are to flee it. We are to pursue God. When we sin as Christians, we are disordering our loves and loving that sin at that moment more than we love God, who says, "You shall be holy, for I am holy." We are called to flee the way of the wicked. We read in Hebrews 12, verse 1, we are called to lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. So how do we flee the path of sin? How do we lay aside every weight? How do we lay aside the sin which clings so closely? We're told in Hebrews 12, verse 2, we look to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. He empowers us to flee sin, and He has overcome the world. And when we look on Jesus and see how beautiful He is, how glorious, how grace-filled, how full of truth He is, that sin becomes less seductive, less desirable. Look to Jesus. Fix your eyes on him and guard your heart with all diligence, with all vigilance. And point three is this. Guard your heart with vigilance. Looking now at verses 20 through 27. Cybercrime is a great growing industry, isn't it? I read that hundreds of millions of dollars were robbed from Australians just last year through text, through email, and through internet scams. There's a huge industry of cyber criminals working all over the world trying to rob you through your phone, through your computer, through your tablet. It's a massive growth industry. And so is cyber security as we try to protect our money from the criminals. We spend a lot of money guarding what we own. Well, we're called here to guard our hearts. It's far more important than your Apple phone, guarding your hearts from sin. And so I think the key verse of this entire chapter is verse 23. Keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life. Now, in Hebrew thinking, your heart is not just the organ that pumps blood around. It is your inner being. It is your inner person, who you really are, your soul, you. And we're told to guard our hearts, to keep vigilant watch on them, for from it flow the springs of life. Jesus said, out of your heart flows who you really are. How you speak reveals who you are. What you look at affects who you are. We are called to guard our hearts with all vigilance. And Solomon then expands what that looks like. And his first subpoint is this: watch your speech. Look at verse 24. Watch your speech. Put away from you crooked speech and put devious talk far from you. How easily we sin through speech. James says, if anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless. James also says in James 1:19, know this, my beloved brethren, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. Paul wrote in Titus 2, verse 8, we are to have sound speech that cannot be condemned. Colossians 4, 6, our speech is to be gracious and seasoned with salt. We are called to use our speech to build up our brethren, to encourage, to edify, to equip, not to tear down. Our speech reveals our heart. Secondly, we guard our hearts by guarding our eyes. Look at verse 25. Let your eyes look directly before you and your gaze be straight before you. Think of Solomon's father, King David, a man who loved the Lord with a great, passionate love. God called him a man after his own heart. Yet David's worst and most terrible sin came when he gazed in the wrong direction and was lured into a terrible sin, adultery and then murder. Guard your eyes. Flee temptation. We live in a toxic age. There's a whole world of evil now on the internet, coming into your homes through your phones and computers and tablets. Guard your screens. Guard your hearts. If you're taking in rubbish, you are polluting your heart. And you are the temple of Jesus. We are called the temple of Jesus. We are called the temple of the Holy Spirit. We are to guard our hearts from evil. And that means guarding our eyes, which is very, very difficult in this toxic age. That's why we're called to live life together closely, to be in home groups, to gather, to be mutually accountable, to talk about our walk, our struggle. And we are called to guard our hearts together. King David wrote in Psalm 101, verse 3, I will not set before my eyes anything that is worthless. He vowed not to gaze on that which was impure or worthless. We are called to guard our hearts by guarding our eyes. And finally, in point 3, we are to ponder the path of our feet. Look at verse 26. Ponder the path of your feet, then all your ways will be sure. The word ponder that can be translated as make level or make straight. He's saying walk in the narrow way that leads to life. Yes, if you have come to faith in Jesus, you are saved, you are kept, you are protected. But when we walk off that path and stumble in sin, we bring so much grief to ourselves. We grieve the Holy Spirit and we become ineffective as a witness to the Lord Jesus. We are to watch our feet that we are walking in righteousness by setting our hearts on God, by loving the Lord our God with all our heart and all our mind and all our strength. This is what we were made to do. This is where joy and meaning and peace is found. How do we do this? How do we guard our hearts? By walking in a way that fixes our minds and hearts on our Lord. Paul wrote in Philippians 4, verse 4, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say again, rejoice. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." You see that? The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. We are enabled, we are empowered to walk in this way. We are to walk in the way of wisdom. God's good plan for your hearts is this: love the Lord your God with all your mind and all your heart and all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. This is no onerous command. This is the way of wisdom, the way of joy, the way you were made to walk. And as followers of Jesus Christ, we have been freed to walk in this way. Let's now close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that you have revealed to us, Lord God, your plan for our loves. That, Lord, you have made us to love and know you, to delight in you, to worship you, Father, to rejoice in you always. Lord, help us to understand that there is nothing in this world that can offer us the joy that rivals the joy you give us when we love you and delight in you. Lord God, this week as we go forward into work and school and study and all kinds of places of employment, Father, help us, Lord God, to walk rejoicing in you, Lord, looking to Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. And Father, we pray this in his name. Amen.